Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Bears have kept you up all night, and I'm ready to chat with you. Brandon dubbed me the Bearapist instead of a therapist because I'm on after the Bears games. I like that. Sometimes it's needed. Another chapter in the Bears-Packers rivalry. Bears lose 20-19. Yet another disappointment for Chicago. A game that felt winnable slipped away in the final moments. What a heartbreaker. A blocked 46-yard field goal seals it. Caleb Williams looked decent. 23 for 31 on the day, 231 yards, added 70 rushing yards. But the Bears offense couldn't close the deal. He said it himself. We got the ball back. It would have been good to put up some points right there. Got the ball at the very end. Put themselves in field goal position. Meanwhile, the defense gave up 261 to Jordan Love, including that 50-yard bomb to Christian Watson. Ugh. Just a heartbreaker when you see that. I didn't think it was a catch. And I know I'm obviously being biased in that moment, but it seemed as though the securing hand changed after the ball hit the ground. So whereas the first hand, the right hand was on it to stop it, like to catch it. But then when it hit the ground, when he got up, that same hand wasn't holding the ball. It was the other hand.
I just had a feeling they were not going to reverse that.
Because call. That was the call on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the call on the field.
So many times you see that, you think they don't have enough video evidence to overturn it.
Yeah.
They weren't going to overturn
it's
it.
Tough. Yeah, really hoping tough. The script writers were in our favor in that moment. But, of course, that had set up the touchdown. It's the Bears' 11th straight defeat to Green Bay, the longest streak in the rivalry's history. Once again, we're here in this position, upset. Bears fans wondering, when are they going to turn? Are they ever going to turn the corner? That's really what it breaks down to.
That was the most winnable Packer game in years. Probably during this 10-game losing streak. That was the most winnable Packers game. That one, and I would also say 2022 at Soldier Field. Aaron Rodgers' last game at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
Those have been the two most winnable Packer games during this losing streak. And guess what happened in both of them, Gabe? They lost a fourth quarter lead.
I will say this. It feels almost, whereas typically I'm mad that the Bears lost to the Packers specifically, but I think Aaron Rodgers really added to that. This loss doesn't feel like, oh no, we keep losing to the Packers. This loss felt just like, oh no, what's going on with the Bears? Like the Bears weren't right. The Bears had an opportunity to seal the deal at the end. The Bears defense couldn't get the job done yesterday. Like you're telling me that the offense finally comes to play. It looks like an actual NFL offense, the running the ball, controlling the clock, converting on third and short. If you guys have been listening to me for the last 2 weeks, what have I been saying? Run. I trust Caleb in third and short. I trust him to make the right decision. And what did he do all game yesterday? He handled business 9 for 15, 9 for 16 on third downs. It's what you expected. So you're telling me, it's like, that's the part that is sad as a Bears fan. Again, the Packers part sucks, but it's like, the Bears offense did well, and all I needed was for the defense to step up. The Packers only had 6 possessions in the entire game. 3 of them in a touchdown, and then a touchdown. The other two, they're in the red zone. One's an interception, the other gets a turnover on downs because they were so confident that they were going to score. They go for it on 4th and 5, 6. And then the last one, they punt. 6 possessions, that's it. You're going to tell me you gave them 6 possessions and you still lost? That's the part that's frustrating when it comes to this game. 312-644-6767. What was frustrating for you I want to hear from it again. Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score, Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Let's go out to Ed on the south side. So, Ed, there are moments that you can point to in this game, like any game, that are frustrating. What were those for you?
So, I actually had different moments until you tried to blame the defense for this loss.
Nobody tried to blame him.
I think I know what the defense should have done better.
Yes.
But the defense really stopped them in the goal. No. The defense stopped them on 2 fourth downs in the goal line. And the defense literally held them to 7 points and 3 points in the first half. And the offense could not score enough to win this game. The Bears should have won this game. The field goal shouldn't even matter. Like, literally, the Bears, for whatever reason, will not keep going to the thing that worked. So they get a running touchdown, and they say, oh, we're not going to run the ball anymore. We're going to just keep throwing. But for you to say that the defense couldn't win this game, I don't think that's fair to the defense.
Okay.
The offense should have been able to put up more points than they did. The defense gave them field position every time. But I digress. Nagy needs to be gone.
Nagy? Nagy's already gone.
They fired him?
Yeah, Nagy was fired a long time ago. You're talking about Eberflus.
Eberflus needs to be fired. He has mismatched the clock in several games. And the worst game he mismatched the clock was the Washington game. So the Bears are in field goal range. And instead of running the ball to drain more time off the clock, he throws it, incomplete passes, and stops the clock. So now Washington gets more time to do what they got to do. And instead of saying, hey, let's play the outs so they stay in bounds to run the clock, he gives them enough yards to get them in range to throw the Hail Mary. And then once the Hail Mary happened, he doesn't get his team ready for the next game, which is New England, and they go out and lay an egg. They should have beat New England with no problem, but they lay an egg because they're still recovering from that Hail Mary. And then he actually got them up for this game. He got them up for this game, and he still gave this game away. Instead of saying, okay, we have 58 seconds, let's try to run a play to try to get closer, or at worst, we gash them and we go down and call a timeout. Because Arizona, literally last week, at the end of the half, was like, hey, let's run it, and he scored. So the head coach of this game is Matt Nagy. I'm sorry, Eberflus. That's how frustrated I am with the coaching that the Bears keep hiring. It's Eberflus, and he does not know how to manage an NFL game. He's a great defensive coordinator sometimes, but as a head coach, he's not. Thank you for taking my call. Thank you for letting me rant. I'll listen to you guys talk.
I got you, Ed. Don't worry about it. I mean, I think everyone shares in your frustration with Coach Flus and what we feel like is a mismanagement of a game, right? You can call your defenses. You can lead men to play at a high level despite the circumstances surrounding your team. But when it comes to critical moments where in the beginning of your tenure, most thought you were an upgrade from what we had, and it seems as though as of late, Coach Eberflus has definitely found his way in that Nagy bubble, which is why you continued to call him that, and I understand that. I do want to talk about the defense and what happened there, Ed. I think when you're looking at this game specifically, right, I mean, every time the Bears scored a touchdown, Green Bay came back and handled business, and it was infuriating, right? I mean, in the first half, you talk about the Bears not putting up points. The Bears were up 10-7. The Bears defense gave up a touchdown on the first drive of the game, setting the tone, right? I'm talking about out the gate, set the tone, and gave up that touchdown. So let's start there, Ed, when you're talking about defense. And what maybe I can pull you onto my side is that the man calling the defense is the guy that you're frustrated with, Coach Eberflus. But fortunately, the offense comes down, 8 plays, 34 yards, gets themselves the field goal. You would love for it to be a touchdown, but hey, I'll take some first quarter points. Then, of course, Green Bay comes out, Bears feeling good, defense feeling good after that. Green Bay, 5 play, 18 yards, gets the punt out. Bears, couldn't capitalize off of that. Another punt. That's when Green Bay drives all the way down the field, gives up the interception on a bad Jordan Love throw. You heard Tom Brady talking about it as such. Bears get the ball back. Again, the offense, 13 plays, 76 yards, all the way down the field for a touchdown. You want to know what the best defender for the Bears was today? The offense. Time of possession, 36 minutes to 23. Your best defender was keeping Jordan Love off the field. Because if Jordan Love been on the field more, for more instances, they would have put up way more points. So then you go to the second half. Bears get a field goal. Up 13-7, feeling good. What does the defense do? Touchdown. Bears offense comes back after the defense gave up the touchdown and they had already put up the field goal to extend the lead. They come down 7 plays, 78 yards, 6-minute drive for a touchdown. Offense doing their job. Then Green Bay comes all the way down the field again, 7 plays, 75 yards, handling business, no pushback. Fortunately, a turnover on downs because of a penalty, or else they would have got that first. When the Bears got the ball in that instance, every Bears fan, I'm sure, felt the same, though. Said, man, if Caleb can do this, Bears getting the ball on the 3-yard line, said, if Caleb can do this, that'd be crazy. And in my mind, I was like, just give me a couple of first downs and let your 4th-round pick change the field for you. And that's exactly what happens. 12 plays, 45 yards. Unfortunately, couldn't convert. But what happens after the punt? The defense, again, lets them go down the field. 4 plays, 70 yards for the tutty to take the lead. And then again, the offense is what allows them to be in a position to win that game at the very end. So, yes, I do blame it on the defense. Or at least there's some blame there. They can't be admonished of that. Absolutely not. Time of possession, points on the board. The Packers have 6 possessions, 3 of them end in touchdowns, 1 punt only on the day. And the other 2, they find themselves in the red zone as well. So out of 6 possessions, 5 times they get into your red zone, and you're going to tell me that the defense wasn't an issue and 3 of those end up in a tutty? No way. 312-644-6767. We're going to take some more of your calls. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. So glad to be kicking things off because I'm glad to be a part of this whole thing. Mully and Haw, they got DJ Moore for you at 8 o'clock. If you're at the gym, you're getting out a little later, got to take the kids to school or maybe headed to work, make sure you're checking that out. If you're getting a little earlier, Olin Cruz is going to be on at 7. Bernstein and Harris, fresh off of Fox 32's postgame, Anthony Heron will be with them at 11. And if you're looking for a little dessert, a little dessert at the very end, and you want to hear what Jalen Johnson thought about Caleb Williams, what he thought about the defensive performance of the Chicago Bears, and what Coach Flus is doing with his team after the turmoil they dealt with over the last week. He'll be on at 5 o'clock. Make sure you're here for that. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Aaron. Aaron, good to talk to you, man. What you got to say about this Bears loss?
Oh, Gabe, I just need a minute on your couch, brother.
Oh, man, I'm ready for you. I got my pen ready for you, Aaron.
All right. So here's how I'm looking at it, and I don't know if I'm being naive or if I'm seeing big picture. To look at the way we just played the last 3 games, today was a massive improvement. And I told my wife before the game was over, I said, win or lose, I'm not going to be able to sleep. Like, it was exciting to be ahead, at certain points, to be that close at the end, to lose to, what, a fingertip on the football? I think we need to remember that developing Caleb Williams is our priority one. That the record doesn't matter, that we are playing, and maybe it's defeatism to say that we're playing for next year, but the fact that we played as well as we did today, I feel going into next week that we have a chance against the Vikings. Whereas before, I thought we were going to get blown out today, and I didn't think we had a chance against anybody in the division except for the Lions because of how close it was last year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we need to keep Caleb Williams on the forefront of our minds, and I think that's more important than, and maybe this is ignorant as well, I think that's more important than Flus. And Thomas Brown, again, it was only his first shot at it, but there are times today where they would line up, and in that situation, I would be yelling Roschon Johnson at the TV, and then I would look, and he's back there, and I would feel good inside, and they would use him, and he'd get 6 yards.
Yeah, I think you're making a great point, and I want to ask you a very specific question about Caleb Williams, because you did mention him, and obviously we all want to see him be successful, Aaron, and it is, what does development look like to you for the rest of this season? What do you need to see, and what does he need? What areas does he need development?
So, for me, today, the number of passes that he completed with a little bit of distance on him, I think his average is, what, 6-some yards?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But he had a number that were a little bit over that. How many did he have for first downs? How many third downs did he complete, 9 of 16 or something?
Mm-hmm.
Compare that to where we've been. Now, don't compare it to the rest of the league. Compare it to where we've been and how far we've come along.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at Caleb Williams and you're looking at what his mean is, right? People talk about regressing to the mean, and what does that mean if it's not this and that? Well, when you look at earlier in the season, he had some poor performances, 93 yards in his season opener, buck 74, buck 57 in there as well in the first 6 weeks. But he also has a 300-yard games against Indy and Carolina. Now, when you're looking at who Caleb Williams is in the present, right, and what his passer ratings were against the Rams, Carolina, and Jacksonville, his QB rating was 106, 126, 124. After the bye week, obviously they got Shane Waldron fired, QB rating of 59, 68, and 93. So what does regressing to the mean look like in true form? Well, in a statistical sense, it's what happened on Sunday with Caleb Williams. QB rating of 95, passing yards 231, right? That looks more like what a Caleb Williams game should be in the present. Not that he can't, to your point, have higher completions as you know, he continues. Again, today's his birthday. I don't know if you knew that, Aaron. Today's Caleb Williams' birthday, and he's 23 years old. 23. Think back to when you were 23 and compare yourself to when you were 26, 27. Obviously a much different person, and that's what we're hoping for from a guy like Caleb Williams.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. And I believe, from what I can see, he's got a legit work ethic. And he is willing to take responsibility when it's on him and keep moving forward and see to the future as opposed to focusing on current mistakes. Like, recognize them and move on.
Yeah, it's something that has to happen, and hopefully he can, you know, lift that floor up. And I think that's what we all want as Bears fans. Development for me is finding what consistency looks like and what your floor should be. And in the present, it should be pretty much what he did today, where it's good game management, limiting the turnovers, no fumbles, no interceptions. Of course, you would love to see him get in the end zone and connecting with one of his wide receivers, right? Caleb Williams hasn't had a passing touchdown since October 13th. It's been over a month since he's had a passing touchdown, and that's when he had 4 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, again, I think he's being a bit too cautious. I think he doesn't want to throw an interception, because you have to tip your cap to that as well, right? If you're going to talk about his 0 interceptions, well, I want to give him some credit. He's only thrown 1 interception in the last 7 games, which for a rookie quarterback says a lot. So, again, it's about constantly lifting your floor if you're Caleb Williams. Okay, we know you can protect the ball, But can you be a little bit more reckless? Because if I told you 2 interceptions in 7 games, you wouldn't be mad. If I told you 3 interceptions in 7 games, you wouldn't raise an eyebrow at that. That would sound about right. But then that would probably lead to a couple more touchdowns. You know, it would balance itself out. And I think to me, again, when you're talking about development, it's that. You trust in your arm, but also, you know, you know how to not be reckless. But now we got to learn how to do both of those at a higher clip, so that the Bears can put up some more points on the board. Aaron, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, of course. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez here with you on 670 The Score. Going to be hanging out till 5 o'clock, handing it off to Dustin Rhodes in just a little bit. And then, of course, Mully and Hall going to get things going. Olin Krutz, 7 o'clock. DJ Moore, 8. Brad Biggs at 9. Then Bernstein and Harris. They got Anthony Heron at 11. Dan Weeder at 1. Kurt Warner jumps on with Spiegel and Holmes at 3, Mark Grody at 4, and then Jalen Johnson, 5 p.m. with Spiegel and Holmes as well. Let's go back out to the phones. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Tom out in Algonquin. Tom, good to talk to you again, man. What did you have issues with this game?
Good morning, Gabe. Good morning, Gabe. The show's phenomenal.
Thank you, brother.
I'm laying back in my recliner and pretending I'm on your couch. And
did you hear, Tom, did you hear they're calling me a bearapist? I'm not a therapist. I'm a bearapist. I help you out with your bear problems.
Oh, I missed that one. I think I did hear that. But when you sit and you're on hold and you listen to all the various great people calling and talking.
Sure.
I mean, that's part of the fun of calling you guys. And so your train of thought changes mid gear. And I want to talk about the fact that we didn't go end of the third quarter, you know, a minute or whatever left, get the 1 point, make the game 2014. At least then they need 2 field goals to tie you. But Eberflus was playing not to lose. He wanted to make sure that we could get to 21 so that they would need a touchdown, you know. But that being said, they could get to 20 and go for 2 points and still win the game. But it's too early in the game to go for 2 points.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about in that moment. I thought about that at the tail end of the game, Tom.
Did anybody pick up on that?
Eberflus addressed it, and he actually dismissed it in the post game. He said it very quickly.
That's not good.
He was like, yeah, right there, you want to go up to 21 and go up 7 in that point.
Why? Why? You got to trust your defense. You know, that's my point. Trust your defense. And you know what? The defense did keep holding and keep holding and keep holding. And finally, it's not like it broke because they went for 2. You know why they went for 2? Because it was statistically, there was a very good reason. I can't fathom it right now. You could probably tell me, Gabe.
Yeah.
The reason they went for 2, it wouldn't have mattered one way or the other.
Who, the Packers? You talking about the Packers?
Yeah.
Well, no, that would have put them up. That would have put them up 3 points. That would have put them up a field goal.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Exactly. So then we would have had to at least score.
Exactly.
But the point is, even being up 1, they didn't really care. But
if the Bears would have went for 1, they would have had 20 at that point, right? And then
but what I'm saying is they're playing not to lose. They're playing like, oh, we don't want them. If they get a touchdown, it'll be a tie game and we go overtime. No, you don't think that way.
Yeah, you got to play to win. What's your take on Flus as a whole? I mean, obviously we have issue with him, and obviously you do too, in terms of, you know, him not playing to win and playing not to lose, but I think that he does things well, but what do you think is missing from him? Right, if you're putting together a head coach that you want to be the leader of your team for years to come, clearly there's something missing. So what is that?
Callers, Gabe. I agree with a lot of callers. I think he is growing. I think he could be good. I think he the decision he made to get rid of Walter, even though it was his, maybe partly or maybe Paul's to hire him. I think what I really liked is Brown being up in the rafters to call the game instead of being down in the field. I love that. I believe in it.
Yeah. I love that I'll tell you a couple of reasons why. One, I felt like he could see what was going on a bit better from an aerial view. I think the other thing
he can see he was not pointing out.
Yeah, exactly. Effort, everything was open in certain situations. But I also appreciated that the in that booth, you are not subjected to the players, the emotions, everything that's going on there. You can stay focused on your job. And I've always wanted an offensive coordinator to be on the sidelines to feel as though he was in the game. But watching Thomas Brown and his level of comfort, he seemed calm. Nothing. He wasn't frazzled in the least bit. He had his plays. Yeah. He knew what direction he wanted to go in. And Caleb talked about that, the speed at which the plays came
in. Caleb right away from up there, right?
Right away, exactly. So those are the
things. Plays are getting in there fast.
Yeah, so I agree with you, Tom. I definitely enjoyed having Thomas Brown up there and thought he did a fantastic job today.
And one more thing I mentioned to Tyler that I said I thought were, and this goes to Diane, back to Diane, where I think Poles made a mistake. Taking a punter in the fourth round, I thought your goal was to not punt. I thought your goal as a football team. And nowadays, people are going for it once they get towards midfield. They're not even trying to punt. And yet, Green Bay made a great punt in the game from, like, midfield. Any bum off the street can pooch a punt. And here you're drafting a punter that could bloom him and do this. And I know he helped us win a couple games or helped us. I know it can be a factor, but you know what? Winning football, that should not be a factor. You know, you just need somebody that can kick it to the corner or drop it inside the 20 is what it boils down to. You don't need a guy that can hit it 70 yards and drop it because you shouldn't have to be punting from back there. if you are, you know. That would be one more criticism. They gotta let Caleb, and I know Dave Wani always talks about this, 2 stretch plays per half where you throw the ball downfield.
Yeah, I saw
a play today where I think I saw somebody on the Bears, I think it might have been TJ, wide open deep. And Caleb was, you know, he's got a lot of traffic and blah, blah, blah. Didn't see it, and he made a connection. I forgot it. I think it might have been Komet. But either way, my point is I think I would stay the course with Eberflus, like the last caller said. It. Continuity is important, and I think he's learning. I think he's growing. But maybe clock management, time management, some of that stuff
does
still bother me. Some of that... Gabe, you are a phenomenal expert in the game. I'm back from the Walter Payton days, so smash mouth, running up the gut, let's go.
I appreciate the call, Tom, man. Always enjoy talking to you late nights. Look forward to chatting with you again soon. I love the energy. The Tory Taylor thing, because that's what he was talking about, where you know he felt like maybe Poll should have gone in a different direction. That was going to be his number one point. I've made that argument, and I've said... Like, why would you waste the fourth round pick on another? Like, sure would like an offensive lineman right now, wouldn't you? Like, you know, someone else can punt the ball there. But then I did a deep dive into the draft and where the Bears took Tory Taylor. Okay. And this is good stuff here. Bears took Tory Taylor with the 122nd pick of the draft. The next offensive lineman that gets taken off the board, because that's what you're really looking at, right? Like, what could have happened? Almost 20 picks later, the Buffalo Bills take Cedric Van Pran, who is injured right now. He's out, so nobody knows what he would have been doing. That's 141, remember, 122 Tory Taylor. The next offensive lineman, then the Bears get 144, by the way. So another offensive lineman hadn't even been taken between those picks, between... there and when Austin Booker Bears traded back into the draft to get him at 144. So another opportunity to get an offensive lineman passed on. But again, when you're talking about what talent was available there, the next offensive lineman, I'll go back, 122 Tory Taylor, 141 Cedric Van Pran, that's the offensive lineman the Bills took. The next offensive lineman after that doesn't get selected until 159. So you're talking about from 122 to 159. If you are of the ilk of saying the Bears could have taken an offensive lineman, like I was at one point. Hunter Narzad from the Kansas City Chiefs, he's their backup center. And then after that, I'll give you one more. Jacob Monk from the Packers at 163, and he's their backup center as well. So a couple backup centers, who's essentially the Bears already had that in Ryan Bates and Coleman Shelton already. So they already had that taken care of. So I don't know. I guess they couldn't have fared a little bit better. Torrey Taylor obviously makes a difference there. But do you know what direction Poles needs to go in right now? You know what direction needs to go in. And I wholeheartedly am willing to give him another offseason before I start calling for his head, because I do think he's put this team in a good position and he's built a good foundation. Now, there was a story about Ryan Poles being silenced. Haven't heard from him recently a lot, have you? Ah, there could be a reason why. I'll tell you why on the other side, but I also want to take your phone calls and thoughts on this game. That's what I'm here for. I am your therapist. My couch is ready. 312-644-6767. Your calls on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Hurt, especially for myself. I have no business tripping. I got to find a way to stay up, because I know if I stay up, I'm going to make that play. So, I mean, just for me, you got to figure out a way to be better.
How did you trip? If he just got tangled up?
Yeah. The BS play, tripping. He gets up, run for however long he was running. And then, of course, getting the field goal block. We did everything right. Some big third down, fourth down conversions. We get the ball where we want it. 3 seconds left to go. Kick gets blocked. But, I mean, at the end of the day, we just got to figure it out. And it starts with me. I mean, right now, of course, it's tough. Every loss is tough. But it seems like we've been dealing with some losses like this, clearly, multiple times this year. So just got to figure out a way to keep going.
Is that surreal to you have two of those in the same year?
Yeah, it's almost comical. The luck of the draw at this damn point. But we got to figure it out, how to be better.
Comical is one way to point to it, I guess. It's Jalen Johnson talking right there in the post game. And, of course, you can hear him right here on 670 The Score, 5 p.m. with Spiegel and Holmes. All day today, we got great stuff for you. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. I am Gabe Ramirez, leading you right into Dustin Rhodes. He's going to take over at 5 with the pregame show, of course, leading you into Mully and Haw. And they have Olin Krutz at 7, DJ Moore at 8, Brad Biggs at 9. Then Bernstein and Harris jump on. Anthony Heron will join the fellas at 11. And then Dan Reederer will follow at 1. And then Kurt Warner, the QB guru, hang out with Spiegel and Holmes at 3. Mark Grody, our good friend Mark Grody, is going to talk to the guys at 4. And then the guy you just heard again, Jalen Johnson, 5 p.m., is going to be able to talk some stuff right there. The Bears defense, I mean, listen. Overall, of course, we know they've been playing well. When you're talking about red zone scoring percentage with touchdowns only, Bears number one in the league. 40% of the opportunities end up in touchdowns. Today, 60%. That's the biggest difference, right? Three out of the five times Packers score a touchdown in the red zone. And the Packers only had 6 possessions, 1 punt on the day, and 5 times they were in the red zone. That's it. Bears, one of the top squads, and then they couldn't get it done. Somebody was giving me crap earlier, Ed from the South Side, about saying the Bears defense could have done a bit better. I think Jalen Johnson would agree with that. But again, hey, you could hear him say it. 5 o'clock today on 670 The Score. When you're talking about red zone stats, because this was something that was big for the Bears, particularly in this game. Yes, they are a bend-don't-break team, but I think they bent a bit too much in this one. And this is one where the offense came through and did their end of it. You're looking at the Chargers, right? They've allowed the least amount of touchdowns in the red zone this year at 9. The Bears are right behind them at 11, second. Second fewest touchdowns allowed, right? Second fewest points allowed. The Chargers have allowed 54, Bears at 66. The biggest difference, right? The Bears certainly in the top in terms of touchdowns and points allowed. It's plays. Teams have just been down there a lot. So that's just touchdowns you're allowing, but you're allowing a ton of field goals, but you're allowing teams to get down there. Second in the league in touchdowns allowed, second in the league in points allowed. When it comes to plays, however, Bears, what's that, 36, 9, 12, oh my God, 14th in plays. So again, you're seeing the difference. It's a bend, don't break, but it's bending a bit too much between the 20s. We need a couple more punts there, and if had that been the case in this game, the Bears would have walked away with a victory without needing that field goal, which was certainly crushing. Again, Bears lose to the Packers 20-19. Taking your phone calls because so many things have happened when you're looking at this. 11 straight to the Packers. Is it a mental hurdle at this point? Is it just the talent gap? I was trying to explain, not explain, I wasn't mansplaining, but I was talking to my wife and she's like, what is the biggest thing? I said, listen, the Packers have a better team. Better coach, better team. But the Bears almost did everything right to put themselves in a position to win. Control. How do you beat a team like that? Keep them off the field. Control the clock. Bears certainly dominated in that area. That was the best defender today, was the Bears offense, keeping the Packers off the field. They weren't flashy. They didn't do it via, you know, I guess DeAndre Swift had a big run there, but they were methodical, breaking you down piece by piece, keeping the game simple, doing what they knew they could. They knew they can get a 2 or 3 yards on first down with a run, 2 or 3 yards on a second down run. They know they can get Caleb to complete a 4-yard pass, a 6-yard pass quickly. You saw how fast he was getting the ball out yesterday. I was yelling at the top of my lungs that make it easier for Caleb. Stop making him in second and long and third and long. Put him in third and short. I'm extremely confident he can get that done. He's proven that. And what did he do yesterday? He did just that. So you felt good about it. But, yeah, that's why you got to play the game. That's why you got to go all 4 quarters. Bears failed to put points on the board in the fourth quarter after scoring in each of the first three. And it would have been nice if they gotten 3 more to give themselves the victory. But I want to hear from you. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Bader out there on the road. Bader, welcome to the show, man. Glad to hear from you.
Good morning, Gabe. First of all, I like listening to you no matter what time of the day or the night you're on.
I appreciate that, man.
I enjoy listening to you.
Thank you.
And the second thing, I disagree with the guy who called you. I remember this guy when he was calling, what's his name? Grabstein, whatever.
Yeah, Grabber.
He always calls. But anyway, I disagree with him as far as going for the 2-point conversion. I have no problem with it. I know exactly what the thinking was, and I would have done the same thing. But Eberflus himself needs to go, and we need to go after the offensive coordinator with the Lions. This guy is a good defensive coordinator, but a head coaching material is not very good. I mean, you can see it in so many ways. He's just not good, and he needs to go. Even if we make it to the playoff, we need a different guy to work with Caleb Pullum. Either we go with the offensive coordinator with the Lions, or that Kingsbury guy who was Caleb's coach. I don't know why he didn't hire him. The reason he didn't hire him, because he was afraid he's going to be his replacement.
That's a smart business decision. Sometimes, you know, you don't want to hire your replacement, Bader. But let me ask you this. When you were watching the game, did you get excited, or did you have some negative energy thinking that something was going to go wrong at the very end?
Well, I tell you the truth, I was nervous. I had a gut feeling we're going to have a good game. And, I didn't want to listen to it from the very beginning. But when I turned it on, I liked it more and more and more. And I was praying left and right for us somehow, some way to win the game. And when that kick got blocked, I just, you can imagine, the F-bomb was going all over the place with me, because how is that possible? I mean, this guy is so good, and in the worst time possible, this thing gets blocked. How? Same thing with the Washington game or the Indiana. I mean, we dropped some games this year. We have no business of losing.
Yeah, it's frustrating, right? It's frustrating. And I'm going to say, Bader, I think you were the jinx. I've been asking people all day, like, you know, because everyone feels like they jinxed it at some point. I know I did. And for you, you said you weren't watching the game, and then you turned it on. I think you might have been the bad luck, Bader. Sorry to tell you that.
Well, you know what?
I'm just playing, Bader. Thanks for the call, Bader. I appreciate it, man. Listen. We all are frustrated, and we all had high hopes for this game. I was on the better angle on Saturday. It's my weekly gambling show on BetQL. Occasionally airs on 670 The Score. And we were on last weekend, and I was screaming at the top of my head. I said, Bears -5. Book it. At the time, you couldn't even bet that. It was only Bears -4 is what the best odds you can get. I was like, Bears -5. I said, things are going to be different. It's not like the Bears were 4-2. I know it was against bad teams, but you saw, I mean, and going into the season, you felt like there was a level of believability with the Bears. You thought DeAndre Swift was going to be who he is. You knew your wide receivers were good. You felt like there was an upgrade at the quarterback position. Granted, the offensive line you still felt iffy about, but again, you can't fix everything in one offseason. So, you know, the talent was there, and you said, okay, you knew Shane Waldron was a problem. I mean, you've watched enough football to know that that just wasn't a good game plan. So, stuff there. Texter from the 312. Yes, I have the gossip for you. Hey, Gabe, what were you saying about polls being silenced? The article came off of Sports Mockery. Just, you know, read it out there. And it was saying that Ryan Poles, basically that they're saying, in that article it says, that being silenced because and not being allowed to make any other, you know, moves and decisions after this. And I'm sure that came after the Nate Davis thing, right? Like, hey, we're cutting him. And then they're like, okay, you know what? Because, like, when was the last time you've heard from Ryan Poles? Just a little calladito, a little quiet over there is what I would say. But just hurts in those situations because you feel like Ryan Poles. I mean, like, we all thought the Bears would be hovering around 8 or 9 victories, except for who called earlier? Joe from Cicero that said he had under 6.5. I mean, it was there, and it certainly felt good when the Bears were 4-2. You knew they were going through a gauntlet with the NFC North still yet to come. But the assumption was that, or at least for me, was that Caleb Williams would have gotten all the rookie jitters out of the way. And then once the NFC North came to town, the Bears would be ready to play. And the defenses would be ready and people barring health issues. And you saw that was something that impacted the Bears today. Zero pressure up the middle. You see that Billings is an issue and haven't been able to stop the run. But, you know, needing that big body in the middle, that big three technique, that's just a presence. And then Jaquan Brisker, the Elijah Hicks, you know, we talk about the Jalen Johnson slip up, but the Elijah Hicks, Christian Watson debacle was equally as painful. And Jaquan Brisker being there, the assumption is that he stopped that play. Again, just moments where you wish you were at your healthiest and you wish you were, but you don't want to be in a position where you need all of that. To be firing on all cylinders in order to compete at the highest level, you would like there to be moments where the defense isn't coming up with their end of the bargain and the offense wins. And then, you know, that's what a good team does. They find different ways to win because every game you're not going to have the same game plan. 312-644-6767. What'd you think about the game plan, the offensive coordinator's role, and Thomas Brown, Eberflus, his game management at the end? I want to hear from you. Let's go to Ben out in Grand Rapids. Ben, what do you think about this Bears game?
Well, you know, you guys are complaining a little bit about the defense, and still they're holding teams at a really low number. So we've got to kick up the offense. But I thought the offense played much better.
But you got to remember, though, in this game today, right, there's only 6 possessions. They scored on 3 of them. and then one was a punt, right? And they still, and those other two that they didn't score, they made it down to the red zone. When you're talking about the Bears, I've been trying to point this out, right? The Bears held the ball for 36 minutes. 36 minutes to Green Bay's 23. I mean, when you're looking at that and you're saying to yourself, wow, that's really, had the Packers had more possessions, they would have put more points on the board. I guarantee you that.
Right. Well, the reason I called is I hear a lot of people talking about getting rid of Eberflus, which I agree 100%. But they keep talking about Johnson in Detroit, and I do not believe the Bears are going to pay up. I don't think they're going to pay.
Why don't you think that?
History shows it. They never open up the wallet. Never.
But do you think he'd even want to come here?
If he's paid, I think he would. I mean, I think Caleb definitely has got it, and it's just a sad thing. I've been watching the Bears forever, and same old, same old.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate because there's so much pressure placed on these people, right? I mean, when you're talking about Shane Waldron, he had a huge amount of pressure on him, right? Coming in to replace Luke Getsy, being given Caleb Williams, you got DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. Like, you better get this right, because if you don't put up points, then clearly there's an issue with you and not everybody else, right? And so I think when you're talking about Ben Johnson and wanting to come here, anybody for that matter, yes, someone, you need the person that wants to take on the challenge, right? I don't want Ben Johnson saying, oh, I need an extra $2 million for me to come. Like, no, I want somebody to come here to say, hey, you have a good team, a good product. It hasn't been cared for properly, and I want to be the one to get it there because I have the gall and the wherewithal to know what the Bears need and to give them what they need in certain situations. That's the kind of guy you want. And so, again, it's just tough because I've been asking people all night. But like for you, Ben, when you're looking at this Bears team, the new play call, the new coach, if you don't want it to be Eberflus, do you want it to be an offensive-minded coach, whether it be Ben Johnson or someone else, or do you want it to be a defensive-minded coach that's going to continue with the legacy of Chicago Bear football?
I think you have to turn the page. I think we need someone that can unleash Caleb, you know. So if you get a defense that is holding people 25 points and we can score 30 every week, that's a winning formula.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Ben. I appreciate it. I share the sentiment, and I think that it is proven around the league. Just like, I mean, if you think Eberflus is a good defensive coach, if he gets fired from the Bears, don't you think he's going to get hired as a defensive coordinator somewhere? Someone who's that talented someone who has a proven track record of having good defenses, right? So not then you get someone who used to be a head coach who now is hyper-focused on the defense, and they're going to be good because now that's all he has to do. And there are guys like that is what I'm saying. So, yes, there was a swing and miss with Nagy. There was a swing and miss with Trestman. The assumption is that you always want to get it right. And hopefully the Bears can. But I think when answering that question, I'm ready for the whatever. I'm ready to swing and miss again or swing, take another at bat at with an offensive-minded coach, knowing that you can grab someone to handle the defense, because I want them, as Ben just mentioned, hyper-focused on the success and development of Caleb Williams. And I want the head coach in his ear talking to him, not Shane Waldron sitting on the sidelines. I want the head coach, the guy who's in charge, the guy who's running the show, talking to Caleb Williams, because I want those two guys on the same page. 312-644-6767. I want to take your calls on the other side. I want to know what you're thinking about this game. Bears lose to the Packers. It was right there in the palm of your hands. And after the crucial blocked field goal, now we're looking at whether the Bears should be reevaluating their personnel in the front office. Your calls on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez. We'll do that next right here on 670 The Score.